Over a period of about 15 years, from 1985 on, the European Space Agency, with some help from NASA in the United States and from ISAS, the Japanese agency, but primarily the European Space Agency, built this infrared space observatory called ISO, for short, which orbits the Earth way out to 70,000 kilometers and comes plummeting back down to an elevation about 1,000 kilometers and goes back out again. Does that every 24 hours. And it did that for about 28 months. It was filled with liquid helium, which was pumped down to a temperature only 2 degrees above absolute zero. And it had to be at that temperature so that the telescope itself would not emit more infrared radiation than we would be receiving from the universe. Because otherwise, if the telescope had been at room temperature, all the detectors and sensors would have been blinded by the emission given off by the telescope itself. So you have to have an extremely cold telescope in order to be able to see wavelength that of something like a couple of hundred times the wavelength of light, visible light, at 100 microns. This telescope weighed about 2.4 tons, contained 2,000 liters of liquid helium pumped, and had a telescope which is quite small actually. It's only about 60 centimeters in diameter, about as far as the two hands I have are apart. So this big, which is very small. An amateur telescope is about that size sometimes, about 24 inches. So because the wavelength is so long, at 200 microns, which was the maximum wavelength, or 400 times the wavelength to which the eye is sensitive, one didn't get a very clear picture. You need to have a very big telescope for long wavelength in order to be able to see the sky clearly. It's sort of like the human eye is too small to separate the Milky Way out into its component stars. You need a big telescope to be able to do that. Even if you have good eyesight, you don't do that. A camera with maybe a couple of inches across, or 5 centimeters, may be able to resolve the Milky Way into its component stars, but it won't really be able to see very much detail in some of the nebulosity that we see out in with a big telescope. So the larger the telescope, the clearer the image that you get, the better the spatial resolution, the better the quality of the picture. Inside the telescope, there's a cutaway here, the radiation comes in, the infrared radiation comes in, it's reflected off this primary cassegrain grain mirror, which is only 60 centimeters across, comes to a secondary mirror, comes down, and now is divided into four components that go to four different instruments. One is a near-infrared camera that takes pictures at wavelength that are something between about 5 and 30 times the wavelength to which the eye is sensitive, or 5 microns to 15 microns. Then there's a spectrometer, which is sensitive in the near-infrared, which divides the light coming into its component wavelength, or colors, in infrared colors, not colors that the eye would see. And then the corresponding detectors also for the very long wavelength that are out at 100 and 200 microns, or 200 to 400 times the light to which the eye is sensitive. With a camera, one was able to get this rather nice picture of the galaxy Messier 51, which has these two components, the larger galaxy and then a secondary galaxy attached to it. This is the clearest picture that has ever been obtained in the infrared of this particular galaxy, showing clearly its spiral arms. What is radiating in, and what you see in that infrared picture, are not the stars that you would see radiating in a photograph, or that you would see with a naked eye, but rather it's dust clouds like this, which here are seen against a background of stars in our own galaxy, in the Milky Way, which is sort of has a patchwork of these dusty, almost factory-type smoke, very, very tiny particles that obscure the radiation from background stars, as you can see here, and look very black. This one here is called Barnard 86. It's one of the objects that an astronomer earlier in the century by the name of Barnard cataloged, and this is the 86th object in that catalog. It's these dust clouds that get heated up by adjacent stars or stars that are embedded in them, and the dust then is nowhere near as hot as the stars are themselves, because the dust is quite far away from the stars, so it absorbs only a fraction of the stellar emission. So it might be of the order of the temperature of dry ice, but with a sensitive fine-infrared telescope, you're able to see that.